Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Welcome everybody to the start of chapter 2. So over the last few weeks, we've been taking a bit of a journey through the Gospel of Mark. We started off well, and it's getting even better tonight as the Gospel goes on. And the more that I read it, the more that I remember how amazing the ministry of Jesus is. And tonight we get to unpack probably one of the most famous stories of healing that we see, and a story that I'm sure most of you have heard many times. It's one that I've heard many times, but it's also a story that God's revealed a lot through in the last few weeks. So I'm really excited to share that with you guys tonight. So as Tim wrote out before, Jesus is returning home. He's had a successful mission throughout Galilee. Word spread really quickly. Jesus has been preaching about the kingdom and then showing the kingdom, and people have been healed and everything's going well. His reputation is pretty much sky high right now. He returns home and all of a sudden there's a group of religious teachers and legal-minded people that have come to town because they've heard about this man, this great teacher, and they want to hear what he's got to say. In some ways, they're testing him out. They're trying to see if he's the real deal because he's kind of the new kid on the block. He hasn't come through their normal streams of education, so that he's kind of like a bit of a bogan from Nazareth that no one's ever heard of before. So they're excited to see what he's got to share. So Jesus is in a home. He's invited into a home, and he starts sharing. It's packed full. A little bit like tonight, but even more people than tonight. It's packed full. There's people everywhere. And Jesus is preaching and it's going well. And then all of a sudden he sees bits of the roof starting to fall down around him. And everyone looks up and all of a sudden they see a bit of a hole appearing in the roof. And then all of a sudden some tiles move away and they see four men. And then all of a sudden there's a mattress being lowered down and there's a man on the mattress. And as the man's being lowered on the mattress, while everyone is kind of shocked and distracted, Jesus looks up at these four men on the roof, and he sees that there's a deep faith that these four men have. And in a lot of ways, throughout the ministry of Jesus, it's common for him to heal someone who wants to be healed, and he often says it's by your faith that you've been healed. But in this case, it's actually by the faith of the men around them and the faith of Jesus to honour their faith that all of a sudden this miraculous healing happens. But it's actually more than just a physical healing, because we see that Jesus doesn't just say, get up and walk. Does anyone remember what he says? Your sins have been forgiven, which means that Jesus is basically offering this paralyzed man more than just physical healing. He's offering spiritual healing. And he's basically saying to this man, whatever you've done in the past, I'm forgetting everything. And today you've been born again, and today's a new beginning. And a lot of that is happening because of the faith of the four men on the roof, who we never hear about again, who we don't know their names. They're kind of miscellaneous figures. But there's four guys that had the faith to step out and do something pretty courageous that a lot of us would probably struggle to do in our own lives. So the topic for tonight is, Lord, grow our faith. How can we become so courageous that we're willing to climb onto a roof, dig through the roof, and get one of our friends to Jesus? Because that's the only person that can actually offer them the hope. We can try our best, we can be friendly, we can be nice to them, but at the end of the day, without Jesus, they actually don't have much hope for the future. So it's something that I've been challenged by a lot, and Jesus has really revealed a lot of his own character through the story to me, and it's challenged me in a lot of different ways. And it's also prompted me to remember the story from a few years ago when I was a bit younger than I am now, a couple of years after high school. So during high school, I wouldn't say my faith was vibrant at all. I was kind of pretty up and down. I was pretty inconsistent. And I was kind of like, all right, I'm a Christian and that's all good. But as I finished up high school and sort of got released out of, it felt like I was released out of high school. I would no longer have to do what the teacher said. And I was like, this is the best. I went to uni and the lecturers didn't really care what you did. And I'm like, this is exactly what I need in my life. And it was a really enjoyable time. And I learned a lot and made a lot of mistakes. But eventually I got to the point where I was like, this faith that I'd probably taken for granted actually means quite a lot to me. And through all the mistakes, I felt like God had really forgiven me, and I'd started to grow, and I'd started leading a youth group at my church, and I was like, this is going well. But then I kept reading the Gospels and I realized that the ministry of Jesus happens just as much outside of the church as inside the church. And the group of friends that he had was so diverse. And when I looked at my group of friends, they were slightly less diverse. They all looked like me. They all sounded like me. The common theme was that we all grew up in Christian homes. It was that classic baptism speech where everyone got up and said, oh, I grew up in a Christian home, and you're like, awesome, another one. And it was great. It's great that people from Christian homes grow up in the faith, but there's a lot of people that don't. And when as I sort of read through the Gospels, I was kind of like, there's something pretty different about the way Jesus lived his life and the way I was living my life then. So I started looking for opportunities to stretch myself, to step out of my comfort zone, because I knew that was the only way that I was actually going to grow in my faith. So I started looking for opportunities to serve outside of the church, and a random opportunity popped up that was so far out of my comfort zone that I was kind of like, this is so random, but I'm going to have a go. It was an opportunity to serve at an aged care facility, which is kind of not something I'm massively passionate about, if to be honest. I was doing a lot of youth work at the time, and I was like, yep, young people, awesome. You can pretty much, whenever you're with a young person, you can always say, oh, it's all right, you've always got your future to look forward to, you've got time. But with older folks, you don't always have that same sort of fallback option, because there isn't always hope for the future, and there is actually an end date for some people in their lives. So an opportunity popped up at this aged care facility, but it was a bit different to your normal aged care facility. It was built and designed to house people that used to be homeless, so people that had grown up on the streets or lived on the streets, and a lot of them were quite severely mentally ill. The majority of the people there had developed schizophrenia. So throughout the training, before they let me volunteer there, it was pretty strenuous. They made me watch a documentary, and I was like, oh, that's pretty tough, but I'll watch a documentary. And they did all this stuff to show us what schizophrenia looked like. And then they kind of just chucked me in the deep, and then they're like, oh, you can go and visit the people now, and you can just go have a chat to them. You don't really need any agenda. You don't even need like a set time. You can just go in whenever. They gave me the passcode, which at the time I was like, oh, yeah, that's fair enough. Looking back, it was probably a bit risky to give a 20-year-old the passcode for this quite highly secure facility. But they pretty much let me go in and out whenever I felt like it. So I used to go in, and the first time I went in, I was like, yep, I know all about these mental illnesses. I'm all good with that. Walked in, said hi to someone. They stood up and started shouting at me, and I was like, oh, no. All of a sudden, things got real very quickly, and I was like, oh, geez. The documentaries didn't tell me all about how to handle these situations. They just told me that this is a reality, that the illness that these people had developed kind of meant that they couldn't help themselves. It wasn't like they were trying to be aggressive, but it was actually an emotional reaction that they couldn't stop themselves. So I had a lot of compassion on them, but I was also a bit freaked out. It was one of those combinations of the two. And I really felt like God was saying to me, you just need to stay here, and it's not going to be that much fun, but you're going to grow a lot. So I was like, all right, I can do that. So I went in once a week, once a fortnight on a Wednesday morning. It was kind of my day off. I was working in the afternoon, so I was like, Wednesday mornings I can go in. And I kind of expected that I'd get to know people and that people would kind of accept me and things would start going pretty well. But that didn't really happen at all. Like, every time I went in, it was almost like I'd never met any of the people before. Like, a lot of them were on quite high doses of medication just to keep them out of trouble and to sedate them. And a lot of them just, they couldn't remember much. There was only probably two or three people in the whole facility that could actually have any memory of things that happened a week or two ago. So every time was kind of like a fresh start, which is a strange feeling. But over time, I developed a few friendships with some of the guys in there. But even then, some of them who were quite high-functioning, considering their quite severe illnesses, there were some days where I'd go in and they'd just be in bed, and they'd be in bed for the whole day. So I'd have to go and talk to someone else, and they might stand up and start shouting, and I'd be like, oh, no, not again. And it became like a recurring theme that every time I went in, it was like this massive challenge, and it made me quite anxious, but I was like, I just got to try it, because surely it'll get better. But it never got better. Like, after 18 months, 2 years, it never really got better. And eventually God was like, all right, it's time to finish up here and move on to your next thing. And I was like, it felt like such a waste of time. I didn't really develop any long-lasting friendships with any of these people. And I was like, God, is this just been like, did I make a mistake? Maybe I wasn't good enough. Maybe I should have invested more time. Maybe I should have had better skills. Maybe I should have been trained better. Like all those thoughts that go through your mind when you don't see the results that you expect. And looking back, basically what Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit was equipping me for was for ministry and to be a disciple. Because in a lot of ways, when I think about why did Jesus choose fishermen to be his core leadership team, Peter, James and John, all of them were fishermen. All of them were found on the boat, basically, and Jesus asked them to follow him. And the thing about fishermen is that they wake up every morning and they go out and they drop their nets and they either get fish or they don't. There's no guarantee. It's not like an office job where you get a set income. If you're a fisherman, you basically live or die on how many fish you catch. So if you wake up in the morning and you're not feeling so good, you don't eat that day, basically. You don't earn any money that day. It's not like you can have a sick day and someone will pay you because you're not there. And in a lot of ways, when you look at the disciples, a lot of them were pretty rough at the start, but they grow really quickly. Like 3 years might seem like a long time, but most of us that have been to university, after 3 years, you're probably only just getting ready to start learning in a lot of ways. But after 3 years, these guys were like ready to go because they kept learning from their mistakes and they got up every single day and they just went out and they dropped the nets metaphorically. They spoke to people that no one else would speak to, and they really were able to develop connections with people that no one else even noticed. And in a lot of ways, the story that we read is about a group of men, four men, who saw someone who most people didn't actually notice. A paralyzed man, so marginalized in society, a guy that no one cared about. But these four men saw him and they wanted the best for him and they were willing to take a big risk so that he could inherit eternal life on earth, not just in heaven. Something that I think all of us should be driven by. But what happens when things don't go so well? So I found this cool picture of someone sitting alone on a pier. And I find that most people these days, like, what does it look like to be paralyzed? Like, I find that, like, it might sound a bit strange, but being physically paralyzed today isn't the worst thing in the world. It could obviously be a lot better. But the technology that we have means that people that are fully paralyzed can even drive cars. Like I watched a documentary a few years ago of guys that lost all feeling below their waist and they were able to drive cars with their hands, basically. And it's kind of amazing that these guys are fully mobile. They live really normal lives. And it's because they're really determined and all that. But they're not so isolated anymore. But there's a lot of people that are isolated and they might not be physically paralyzed, but they've become paralyzed by anxiety. They've become paralyzed by fear. They get scared in social situations. They've been ostracized by society. They've been told that they're not good enough. And in a lot of ways, they're scared to leave the house or they're scared to invest in the community. And they're the sort of people that probably aren't going to arrive on a Sunday and ask to sign up for a growth group. They're the sort of people that they're not going to come here unless we go to them. But one of the other things that I found is that when we really invest time and journey with people who might be alone, sometimes we end up just as alone as they are because we're investing all this time and we're giving out all this energy. And sometimes we can actually feel like we're the same as them. We can feel like we're out on a pier by ourselves, that no one can understand what we're going through. And in some ways, it can actually lead to some pretty dire situations for people. And I know that I've been in one of those places years ago where I just felt like I was so isolated because I'd spent so much time with people that didn't have many friends. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, I totally forgot about my own friends. And I actually had to go back and actually invest more time into those friendships. So what do we do when we become isolated? How can we keep going when things get tough? How can our faith grow during the tough times as well as the good times? The metaphor that I find really helpful is that idea of a mountain and a valley. So like we see Moses on top of a mountain and having this great interaction with God. But then we also see the valleys that David talked about in his Psalms, being scared to go through the valley of death because the valleys are really dark. But if you don't go through the valley, you can't get back up to the mountain. And it's kind of like a metaphor that's pretty pretty widely used, and Christians often refer to it. But it's one that the more that I think about, the more that it really comforts me, because I've realized that having ups and downs in your journey is actually normal. It doesn't mean that you have to lose faith during those times, but if things come your way that kind of force you down into a valley, that's not because you've done anything wrong. It's actually just part of our journeys on earth, because we live in a broken world, and you can spend your whole life avoiding things, but at the end of the day, eventually you will end up in a valley, and it's less about being there and more about how do you get out of there. So, and I think one of the comforting things that God's been teaching me, particularly this week, is that the mountaintop experiences are great, but we can't live on top of the mountain. We eventually have to go back down and keep moving on to the next thing. But the higher the mountain is, the better the view is at the top. But in order to get to a higher mountain, it's going to be a bit of hard work to get there. So if you're feeling, particularly right now, if you're feeling like you're kind of heading uphill, things feel like hard work, they feel like they're harder work than they've been in the past, sometimes you might feel like, oh, this is a waste of time, surely there's a shortcut, surely maybe there's something wrong with me. The chances are that you're actually heading up a mountain, but a lot of people end up giving up and going back the other way. But if you keep going up that mountain, you'll eventually reach the top. And because it's such a high mountain, when you reach the top of a high mountain, the view from the top is pretty amazing. And it's something that when you reach the top, you kind of forget about the tough journey to get there, because you feel so fulfilled and you're kind of like, oh, wow, this has actually all been worth it. So that's just something that I find really comforting. But it's less comforting when you're in the valley, and it's less comforting when you're still on the uphill. So how can we get through those tough times with our faith and get to the top of the mountains and celebrate those great moments? So the disciple John is someone that I take a lot of comfort in his story. The only disciple that stayed with Jesus throughout his whole journey, the only disciple that was with Jesus when he was on the cross, the disciple that Jesus asked to look after his mother Mary, because Jesus and John had a really close friendship, and John's the only one that actually didn't end up dying on a cross and actually died by natural causes. And it might be a coincidence, but it also might show that when we're faithful, God wants to bless us. And even while Jesus was in heaven, he still wanted to bless John. And in the end, when John was so isolated and on a remote island by himself, he might have felt really alone, but he actually had his best friend right with him the whole time. And Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, reveals this great revelation of what's going to happen when during the end times. And for John, it was probably the biggest mountaintop experience that anyone's ever had. One of the great visions of why things, what's going to happen when Jesus returns, and yeah, a great encouragement in his journey. So the disciple John, he was friends of Jesus, and he has a story in his gospel that we don't see in the other gospels, and it's one that I really want us to focus on tonight as we explore how we can build up our faith during those tougher times so that we do reach those mountaintops that God has intended for us. So from John 15, 13 to 15, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from the Father, I've made known to you." So the line that I've underlined in bold with italics is the main point that I'd like to touch on tonight, is that Jesus originally went out into the world to gather a group of disciples, but his end goal wasn't to have a group of students that would follow him around forever and be dependent on him. He actually wanted them to grow up. He wanted to equip them for the ministry that he called them to. But he actually just wanted a group of friends that actually understood him. And it's something that he invites us into as well. He calls us disciples when we follow him. But at the end of the day, he wants a deep friendship with us. And that's something that I feel like sometimes we kind of miss the point. We can accept Jesus as the King and our Saviour, but have we actually accepted him as our friend and the person? And it might sound a bit strange unless you've actually experienced it, that you can actually go to Jesus and talk to him. And it's something that Some people spend their whole lives going to church on a Sunday, and they're so faithful, but they never actually reach that point where they accept Jesus as their friend, and they never experience the fullness that God intended, because there's only one way that we can not feel alone in this world, and it's not by having heaps of friends, because at some point there's going to be a situation where you're in where people won't understand what's going on for you. But Jesus knows everything, and he sees when people hurt you. I feel like I'm going to make something sound like Santa. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake and all that sort of stuff. But he does see everything, and he knows your situation. You don't even have to tell him. You can go to him for advice, and you know that Jesus has gone through worse things than you'll ever go through, which you can find comfort in as well, because you know that there's no situation that he hasn't seen before. So tonight I really feel like Jesus is encouraging each of us to step into that friendship and not just keep ourselves at a distance, not to think that we're not worthy of being his friend. Because it's great that we worship him, but he wants more than just our worship. He wants everything about us. And he wants to know what's going on in every moment, and he wants to be able to help us. But in order for him to help us, we actually have to let him know that we need his help, and we have to invest time in this great friendship that he offers us. So we're going to go into a bit of a reflection time now. We're going to probably spend about 10 minutes, which might seem like an eternity, but it's good practice for eternity. So there's three questions that you might like to reflect on. If they're helpful, reflect on them. If they're not helpful, you can make up your own questions. But we're going to chuck some music on in the background. So, yeah, I'd really encourage you guys to step into that friendship with Jesus, because I know through my experience, and I know a lot of people are in similar situations, that when you're going through these valleys, when you're going on that really steep uphill journey, you can feel pretty discouraged, and your church community can support you through that. But at the end of the day, your relationship with Jesus is a one-on-one relationship, and it's something that we can support you in, but we can't force you into it, and we can only do so much to help that. And at the end of the day, each of us has the responsibility to take ownership of our faith and go as far as we're willing to. So I'd really encourage you guys to spend the next 10 minutes really asking these questions and leaving yourself open. And if you haven't really thought of Jesus as a friend before, that's all right. Don't feel bad about that at all. There's no judgment here. And it's a great opportunity, because it means that your journey is just going to get even better really quickly, which is something cool. So, yeah, so I hope you guys are encouraged by that. So we're going to spend, yeah, so feel free to move around the room. Don't feel like you have to stay in your spots. If you want to journal or do what you guys do, feel free to do that. But yeah, I'll just pray for us as we go. Dear Lord, our Saviour Jesus, I thank you so much for the sacrifices that you've made. I thank you so much for the way that you've provided for us. And I pray that there'll be no doubts about how much you love us, Lord. I pray that tonight there'll be breakthroughs in each of our lives, that we'll step into the friendship that you offer us, and that we'll never step out of that friendship, Lord. And I just really pray that wherever each of us are at, Lord, we'll be encouraged tonight, that we'll feel closer to you than ever before, and that we'll be willing to keep on going so that we can reach that mountaintop with you, Lord. Amen.